Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad that you're with us. We are working our way through this new summer series we call The Missing Link, because we're looking at the actions of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And we'll get to that discussion in just a minute, because today we're going to talk about what I call flamethrowers. But let me just first remind you, 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. We're an upstate ministry here in Greenville, and you can go on our website at www.721ministries.org. That's the numbers, 721ministries.org. You can find out all about us. You can see past radio shows we've got archived. We've got devotions that we write on our Putting Green blog, 721ministries.org. You can also find us on Facebook at 721 Ministries. And I'm glad you're with us, because we're talking about things that are so important, that the actions of the Holy Spirit moving through the book of Acts are the same actions of the Holy Spirit moving through the book of your life. And when we started this series, I asked you, have you ever really sat down and thought about writing a little memoir, let's say, a book, your own book of Acts, and looking back over your life and watching the actions of the Holy Spirit through your life? Because He's moving. And if you're saved and you've got the Holy Spirit moving inside of you, you can look back and see where He has directed your life, where He was the chief action figure in your life, just like He was so obviously in that first century, that explosion of Christianity. You know, the life that Jesus promises us, this life of power, it's linked directly to the Holy Spirit that He promises us. We can't miss that. If you miss that, the Holy Spirit is the link. If you miss it, then you have missed the link. You are part of the missing link problems, which is why we call this series The Missing Link, because the Holy Spirit was promised to us by Jesus. He said, when you get this Holy Spirit and you start living with that power, I'm telling you, you haven't seen anything yet. But most of us, sadly, are missing this. And the church and everyone around us, the Holy Spirit is part of the promise, is the promise that Jesus gave us for that life of clarity and energy and creativity. You know, Jesus said specifically the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. He would counsel us. He would direct us. And when you look through Acts, you just see example upon example of the Holy Spirit doing precisely this, of saying to Peter, yes, definitely go do that. To Paul, no, don't do that. Be careful, guys. Yeah, move ahead. We want you to go. Over and over and over, the Holy Spirit has given what we call red lights and green lights and even yellow lights. Red lights, no, don't do that. I got other plans that will be harmful for you, or green lights. Yes, definitely go do that. And you've felt those before. You've felt the Holy Spirit moving and prodding you to go do something, to go make that phone call, to go visit that person, to write that check, to get involved. You sense those red lights where he's that conviction. No, stop doing this. You stop doing this. This is not something I want for your life. Or don't start doing that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Don't get involved. Don't know. How many times would we have been so much better off if we had listened to the Holy Spirit's red lights and yellow lights? So you can have this, because Jesus wants you to have it. You can sense that guidance from the Holy Spirit, those day-to-day, step-by-step realities of the Holy Spirit guiding you and showing you what He wants you to do next, step-by-step. But today, I want to talk about how we quench this Holy Spirit within us. Because when we get these green lights and these red lights and these yellow lights, the real answer is, do we listen? Do we listen and do we act? Do we respond? So today we're going to talk about quenching the Holy Spirit within us. And I call today's show flamethrowers. And I'll explain that in just a minute. Let me elaborate. I was in a group setting with some very focused believers. And it wasn't long ago. And I didn't know any of them. I was meeting them for the first time. And the moderator, just, I guess, as an opening deal, a kind of an icebreaker, whatever, he challenged us to look to the man to our right and ask, he said, ask him a penetrating question. Don't just ask him, you know, how many children do you have or where do you live? Ask him a penetrating question of some sort. So I turned to this man next to him and I said, are you a flamethrower or are you just a pilot light? Are you a flamethrower or are you just a pilot light? Now, he must have known exactly what I meant, because he grinned and he quickly responded, well, I got to tell you, I was a pilot light for way too long. I was a pilot light for way too long, but lately I've been fanning that flame into a bonfire. Are you confused? Do you know what we're talking about? Because you see, in 2 Timothy, right at the very first chapter, verses 6 and 7, God encourages us to fan into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit within us. Let me read it to you. Verse 6, chapter 1, 2 Timothy. For this reason, Paul is writing to Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Fan it into flame, this gift of God, this Holy Spirit which is in you. See, God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, a pilot light Holy Spirit. No, He gave us a spirit of power, a flamethrower, this gift that we have. How do we fan into flame this Holy Spirit fire within us? How do we do that? Because that's what God wants us to do. Well, you do it by living out the power of the Holy Spirit within you with energy, with clarity, with creativity, waking up each morning and calling on, this is what I've been doing, waking up each morning and calling on the power of the Holy Spirit so that I can live the life God wants for me to live. I say, Lord, I want everything you want for me, and I don't want anything you don't want. And I'm calling on the power of the Holy Spirit today. I don't know where I'll need Him. I don't know where you'll want me to use this power, but I want it because you want it for me. We live out this, we fan into flame this Holy Spirit fire by living out this power. By living life with spiritual gusto. Not by suppressing the fire of the Holy Spirit within us, but by, you know, making the most of every opportunity, as we read in Colossians, to shine our light as a lamp on a lampstand, a city on a hill, as Jesus tells us in Matthew 5. He says, you're the light of the world. Fan it into flame. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a light a lamp and put it under a bowl. We don't quench this, but we do. But that's not what God wants for us. Because when we fan into flame the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we become flamethrowers of God's warmth and of God's power and of His light. We throw it out around us. His warmth, His power, and His light. It's sort of like Jesus saying, you know, streams of living water will flow from within you. So I want you to ask yourself, are you a flamethrower? Or are you just a pilot light? And I'm afraid the answer can be painfully convicting when we really are honest with ourselves. Are you a flamethrower? Are people around you being washed with the warmth and the power and the light of the Holy Spirit moving within you? Or are you just a pilot light? Do people around you feel that warmth, that power, that energy? Fan into flame the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Fan it into flame. Now, the problem is most of us are not fanning it. We're quenching it. And God says, and He warns us right there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench this fire within you. But please, fan it into flame, but surely don't quench it. Well, see, we do this quenching by not listening to the Holy Spirit's guidance and the Holy Spirit's counsel, by ignorantly ignoring His gentle but firm nudgings to live out the light within us. When we ignore what we know we're hearing, we're quenching the Holy Spirit within us. Now, many of us, by default, I might say, we quench the power of the Holy Spirit within us by cramming our lives so full of noise and busyness that we cannot possibly hope to hear anything from this gentle but pervasive voice within. Are you a flamethrower or are you quenching? See, it's interesting to note that what comes directly before and after this statement from God about quenching the Holy Spirit right there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, right before it, verse 16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's fanning it into flame. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, that you fan this into flame. Yes, that's what it would look like. But as we keep reading, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Listen to what God says. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Do not quench the Spirit's fire. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. And the Greek language behind that is dousing a flame with water. And He says right there, don't treat prophecies with contempt. And what He's saying is listen to the Holy Spirit. When you hear it, don't ignore it. Don't disregard it. Don't treat it with contempt. No. fan it into flame. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, but surely don't quench that fire. So I'll ask you again, are you a flamethrower or are you a pilot light? Because what I want to do in the second part of the show is I want to look at a specific example with Peter where he came close to being a quencher. And then I'll give you a real life example of quenching that fire when we hear the Holy Spirit moving within us. When we hear it and we just say, you know, I hear it, but I don't want to hear it. Or I hear it, but I don't think I'll pay attention to it because it's getting me outside of my comfort zone. You hear. I know that you, right now, you are thinking about instances where you have heard the Holy Spirit move. You've heard Him speak to you. You've heard Him prod you or convict you, and you didn't pay attention. And by doing that, you were quenching the fire. Let us all determine today to be flamethrowers of God's warmth and energy and power. Let us determine, you and me today, that I will never again be a pilot light, a little tiny, wimpy pilot light. I'll be a flamethrower of God's power. Let's look at some specific examples in the second half of the show. More straight ahead. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second half of 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad you're with us because we are talking about the difference between leading a full life, the life that is truly life, the life that Jesus wants for you by being a flamethrower, by fanning into flame the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's fire within you, or leading that C-minus life that's just a little pilot light, like that little pilot light burning in your gas furnace. So see, now we find a classic example of this at Acts chapter 10. At Acts chapter 10, we find Peter. He's up on the roof. He's listening and praying and meditating. He's seeking God's presence. God shows up, as He always will, because He's already there. He's always there, and He's already there. So He shows up when you carve out and clear out and clean out enough space in your head and your time and your schedule to be alone with God, and therefore to be able to actually hear Him. God was there. The Holy Spirit was moving. You see, now, up to now, Peter has been working with the Jews. And, you know, I mean, all things considered, they've been having a lot of success, if you want to call it that. The Christian movement, the way, is growing. Yeah, I mean, they're taking some hits, but it's growing. So he might be sitting up there on that roof really content with what's going on, with how God is using him, and comfortable with what God has been doing. This new way that Peter is advancing along with his fellow disciples. But then the Holy Spirit speaks to Peter and tells him to get outside of his comfort zone. I've got some new stuff for you to do. I know you've been working with the Jews up to now, but I want you to do something that then Peter realizes, oh, I'm not so sure I want to do this. See, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go see Cornelius the Gentile. Go see him. Now, Peter doesn't want to go see a Gentile. That's not what good, law-abiding, God-fearing Jews do. So the Holy Spirit illustrates this message by telling Peter to eat these very unkosher animals. You remember the story? They drop down out of the sky on a sheet, and God says, eat these. And Peter says, no, I'm not going to do that. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. And the voice spoke to him a second time. The Holy Spirit's moving and says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. See, it happened three times. It happened three times, and immediately the sheet's taken back to heaven. The message is there. Peter heard it. Peter heard it clearly from the Holy Spirit. That's not the issue, see. The not issue of whether he heard it. And I'll bet you in your life, it's not really the issue of whether you have heard the Holy Spirit move to prompt you, to urge you to go do something, to go see someone, to get involved, write that check, to call them, to tell them how much you care about them, to apologize, ask for forgiveness. You've heard that prompt, or you've certainly heard the Holy Spirit say, no, stop doing that. I don't want that anymore in your life. Or don't do that. Don't say that. Don't create these problems by rushing to get involved where it's not your business, or just pray instead of acting. You've heard that. That's not the issue. But like Peter says, surely not, Lord. I mean, what I hear Peter saying is, oh, come on, God, I'm not going to do that. That's not the way I'm supposed to. That's not what you're supposed to tell me. That's out of my comfort zone. I'm not comfortable doing that. I tell you what, God, I can just hear Peter saying it. Tell you what, give me a whole bunch more fellow Jews. I don't care how far I have to travel, but I'll be all over that. I'll work for you on that. But I don't want to go see Cornelius. He's a Gentile. But the Holy Spirit, in that Holy Spirit way, is persistent. And see, there's the rub. Peter heard the Holy Spirit speaking to his heart, but he didn't really want to do what he was hearing, what he heard the Holy Spirit prodding. And I'll bet you can relate to that. I'll bet you right now some of you listening to me, are uncomfortably aware of just such an incident in your life. You heard God speaking to you, clearly. There was no doubt about the message, but sadly, there's plenty of doubt about your desire to act on what you heard. Think about it. I bet you've got something that's kind of surfacing up now. Let me relate a story to you. A friend related this story to me. He said, Sam, I was driving down the highway, and I was talking on my cell phone with a young man that I was sort of mentoring, he said to me. I was sort of a mentor to him, maybe a father figure or a big brother figure, an uncle or whatever. And I knew that God had put me in this young man's life to help him find Jesus and to live Jesus and see Jesus. And he said, now, my young friend Billy was in college, and he was just telling me that how hard it was to keep up his expenses. He had two jobs, but he was having a hard time covering his living expenses. Now, my friend says, I'm driving down the road, and suddenly I can just see this big grin on his face. He said, I immediately heard the Holy Spirit say, give Billy $500. Help him with $500. And my friend says to me, I'm telling you, Sam, it was as clear as you and I are talking right now. And I was so excited. Yes, that's a great idea. I love getting that kind of inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Give him $500. I'm going to do that. That's exactly what I'll do. My friend was just beaming. I knew God had asked me to do it, and I was on fire to go do it and to help. But then my friend frowned, and he said, but see, that was back in the car on the highway. By the time I got back to my office, that contest in my head had started, that dialogue. See, I pulled out my checkbook, and then from somewhere, he says, from somewhere, I suddenly felt this weight around my neck, and I thought, gosh, $500, now that is a lot of money. So he sat there looking at his checkbook, thinking about how much $500 was, and he said, you know, I know what I'll do instead. I'll let my business pay for it. And then he looked at me and he shook his head and he said, but I heard immediately from the Holy Spirit, no, I want you to pay the $500, you to write the check. So my friend's telling me the story. He says, so, you know, I sat there. I had heard it. There's no question about it, but I was still going back and forth with, you know, $500. So he said, then I knew, I had a great idea. Then I'd let the business pay for half of it, and I'd pay for half of it. What a great idea. I'm still paying $250. That hurts a little bit. And the business is paying $250. My young friend Billy's getting $500. I mean, doesn't that work? He said, but again, I heard that voice. No, I want you to write the check for $500, the full $500. Now my friend turns to me, and I'm telling you, he just is boring a hole through me. He's got this look on his face, and he said, and I'll tell you, Sam, I knew right then I was just dancing with the devil. I was just dancing with the devil. I had heard God clearly. And when I heard him, I was on fire at first. I was so excited to be doing God's will that I'd heard so clearly, and it was a great idea. But by the time I got into the middle of the dance with the devil, I had doused my fanning flame down to a teeny little pilot light. And he was just shaking his head. He said, it's almost like I was back in the garden with Adam and Eve, and I heard Satan say, did God really say that? That wasn't God saying that. That was just indigestion from your lunch. You know, no, that wasn't God saying that. Did God really say that? He said, and then I started thinking about that $500. And what Jesus' words, they just pierced my heart when I started thinking about, well, where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. I started thinking, you know, that here we are, $500. I can do without that. I mean, $500 is $500, but I can do without it. Is this where my treasures are? He said, and I started thinking, what would I have done with that $500? I'd have spent it on something. But the Holy Spirit was telling me to spend it, to invest it, not spend it, to invest it into this young man's life. I was on fire until I started quenching the Holy Spirit and dousing that flame into a little lukewarm pilot light. Now see, we do this all the time, don't we? Don't you? You've heard the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You know exactly what he said he wanted you to do or to stop doing. But then you let that dialogue start, that little dialogue dance with the devil. And you ultimately quenched the fire of the Holy Spirit and ended up right back with your little C-minus life with a little pilot light Holy Spirit flickering along inside of you. This all reminds me so much of Jesus' story, his parable about the four soils. And he describes pilot lights all the way up to flamethrowers. That's exactly what he described. And when anyone hears the message, about the kingdom, but doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. You didn't even get a pilot light. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. He's on fire. But he didn't have any root. And he lasts only a short time. Because when trouble or persecution comes, he quickly falls away. When he starts doing that dialogue with the devil, the fire goes out. Then he talks about the one who received the seed. That fire starts flaming up. But he fell into all these thorns, all the stuff about life and busyness and distractions and all of those things. And it just quenched that fire down to an unfruitful little pile of light. But. Then he says, the one who received the seed that fell on good soil, and then, I might add, fans it into flame. That person produces a crop yielding 100, 60, 30, even more times, sown, a flamethrower, throwing out God's light and His warmth and His power and His energy. You see that? That is a perfect illustration of what it looks like to be a pilot light or to be a flamethrower. And God says, stop being a little pilot light. Stop this lukewarm C-minus light. Fan into flame that roaring fire. Fan it into a roaring fire. Listen to me and then act on what you hear. You see, a pilot light doesn't require much energy, does it? I mean, it doesn't. But it doesn't give off much warmth either. And a pilot light doesn't give off any light to speak of. See, I've been a pilot light, and I've been a flamethrower. Pilot light doesn't require much energy. Now, I bet there's something right now, a convicting voice saying to you, personally, you listening to me, you know what he's talking about. You remember just recently when I put it on your heart to go see or to go help or to write that check or to call with that encouraging word, to shine my life and into someone's life, you heard it, just as Peter did. And you wanted to act on it at first, but then you didn't really want to act on it, did you? I understand that. Being a pilot light is a whole lot easier. It requires a whole lot less energy than being a flamethrower. See, I know a lot of pilot lights. I know plenty of quenchers. I know only a few flamethrowers. I know a lot of pilot lights. I'm sure you do too. I know a lot of quenchers. I'm sure you do too. I know only a few flamethrowers, but they are oh so special. They glorify God by accurately revealing just how wonderful and powerful the warmth and the energy and the light is from the Holy Spirit's fire. See, you're the thermostat of your life. You are. You can choose this day to either quench or fan into flame the light of the Holy Spirit within you. You are the thermostat of your life. You can choose this day to either quench or fan into flame the light within you. Jesus says in Matthew 6, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. You'll be a flamethrower. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. You'll just be a little pilot light. And if then the light within you is a pilot light, how great is that darkness? That is what God is saying to you. Don't be a pilot light anymore. Fan into flame that Holy Spirit fire. Call on the power of the Holy Spirit. Be a flamethrower into the world around you. Be a flamethrower into the world around you. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.